American media is a business, and it has a mission, not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, it's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the Internet for Monday, December 19th, 2005. And this would be Newsreel, the Walk Global Sid Rant of Core Political Tyranny, Technology, and Trends for your headspace and timing. Rant Media is taking a stand for free speech today. And just by listening to this broadcast, you are too. You can read all the news stories along with me by going to my live journal. And you can currently get to my live journal by going to Sean_Kennedy.livejournal.com. This would be a free radio broadcast that can be heard on Rand Radio, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, OspreyRadio.info, Extreme Radio, Tampa, and SRN1, if they're still carrying the show, being as a fact I have been sick for the last couple days. But, you know, in all my sick glory, you yourself are free to distribute this broadcast any way that you see fit. Now, I will state that in the last couple of days, I've, of course, been rather ratchety, so if my throat goes on this show, I'm basically well and truly screwed. And, of course, normally I would rely on my loyal and, dedicated compatriot, Samarian, to be able to give me a hand with this. But, of course, like all good vegans, he's off skiing. So, unfortunately, I have to bring in my so-called friend, the only one listed on my live journal, Ronan Sarrett.
Yes, I'm back again on my Christmas leave, hanging out with SKTFNM.
Okay, you're going to need to actually speak into the mic because we have cheap shit here.
Oh,
so there you go. There we go. I'm just watching the levels here. That's what you were saying.
This isn't speaking into the mic. This is me. Goddamn, you're eating the mic.
Yeah, you got to eat the mic. Eat the mic. Maybe I'll turn me down a little bit so that when we equalize, that'll work out a little bit better. That's a little bit better. I mean, how much you can do that? Yeah, you got to really kind of yell. It's unfortunate, but that's okay. So you are back, which means you were away.
For those
just tuning in, where have you been?
I've been out in the wonderful frozen wasteland known as Edmonton, Alberta, where bloody cold. Well, actually, up until about the last week or so before I came back, it wasn't too bad, but it wasn't getting up in the range of minus 30, snow on the ground.
It's true, and anything after about minus 25, it just gets more immediately shitty. You can't really tell. You go outside, and you kind of gauge under minus 20, I found. You'd be like, oh, it's about minus 13 and minus 5. You can pretty much, you get the calibrated skin going on there. You can figure that shit out, but it was, actually down the minus 30s.
Oh, yeah.
And that's pure without wind.
Yeah, exactly, right?
Yeah.
You get little gusts up there, it feels a whole lot fucking colder, and you can sort of gauge it, for me anyways, by how fast your ears burn.
So why were you there?
Because I'm working, Sean. I am doing my workup training to go overseas come early February to Afghanistan.
Well, and that's your vacation spot? That's what you're going there to do? You're going to hang out on the beaches there, meet some women, be cool, see if you can, pick up some chicks.
Yeah.
Hey, baby. Nice. Ankle.
That's right. And, and world-renowned hotspot for, tans and, winds and sand and all these kind of diseases, which they have no cures for, and, all kinds of stingy, bitey things, and malaria. I'll be there for prime malaria season, because we're going for 9 months, say.
9 months. Long enough to have a baby.
Yeah, pretty much. So that's my ticket out there. I'm going to get some Iraq or Afghani bitch pregnant and come back home and have me an Afghani war bride.
That'd be hot. So. That'd be hot. You'd be like, hey, baby, nice tooth.
That's all right.
So, now, the thing is, with you going over there, right,
yep.
You got the whole Afghanistan thing going on. What can you talk about what you will be doing? Is that all OPSEC stuff? You can't talk about your actual trade or what?
Oh, no, I can go into some details. As a broad overview, the Canadians are going to be there along with the rest of our allies.
And who are they? The Canadians. I mean, everybody loves Canadians,
right? That's
right.
Well, we got the Americans. We're going to have the Brits. There's going to be a bunch of Aussies there. Probably some Germans in the mix as well, because they're a good party.
Yeah. Well, this sounds like a pretty good Friday night, pretty much.
I think the Romanians are going to be there. And
they're doing camp security, aren't they, the Romanians? I remember you telling me that last time.
So
you got the Transylvanian security perimeter.
Yeah, I think so. They're going to be all, Eastern European and looking hard-ass and all the rest of that good stuff.
So as long as they attack when the sun goes down, the Romanians will have that shit sorted out.
Exactly. And,
that's right.
And nighttime, well, fuck, you never know what's going to happen with those guys.
Nobody fucks with Transylvanians at night.
That's right.
Kind of as a rule. Now, how are you feeling about everything, though? Good to go? Liking it? Going to be cakewalk. Going to be, you know.
Well, it's not going to be a fucking party money search for the means, man. I mean, things are heating up there in a fucking bad way, I'm sure.
Well, you never hear about Afghanistan. It's always Iraq. Iraq.
In Canada, you do hear a lot more about Afghanistan because we got a big presence over there. We're going to have a bigger presence going there. And recently, as you over the last couple of weeks, there's been some really high-profile attacks, you know, leveled against our Canadian boys and girls.
Oh, really?
Yes.
And why are they doing that?
Well, you see, Sean, there's these people over there, and they're called Muslims.
Right.
And the ones that they got over there right now are like these extreme Muslims, like these Islamo-fascists.
Right, so...
And they basically hate everything that you and I stand for, they hate our way of life, and they're actively going out there day by day plotting new ways to kill us.
Now, this is not true of all Muslims. So this
no,
these
are...
These particular, you know, psycho Islamo-fascist Muslims.
Oh, yeah. I've met tons of good Muslims, man. I've met the European, like, you know, Muslims. I've met some Middle Eastern Muslims. And, you know, people that you're like, look at these people go, you're a Muslim? Holy fuck, you're really modern and westernized. Wow.
Is there like a, you know how in, I don't know how your Muslimese is, but is there like a faction, you know, you got like the Baptist Christians, you got like these, you know, Presbyterian Christians, you got the born-again Christians. And generally, the born-again Christians are a little bit more zealous.
Well, this is how we're kind of broken down for the demographics in Afghanistan. About 90% of that country is Sunni Muslim. Sunni Muslims, okay?
Okay, what's their trip?
I don't know, they're just Muslims.
They're just Sunni Muslims.
Right, and then about 8% of the country or so are, like, Shia Muslims.
Okay.
So they're, like, you know, Muslims with a different flavor, I guess.
Right, so we can look all that shit up on Wikipedia.
Exactly, and then you've got about 1% to 2% other. And this is where your little
other
Christian minorities fall into the ground.
Not a good time to be a Christian in Afghanistan, I'm thinking.
Yeah, you got to hide that shit, right?
I'm thinking that, yeah, you're getting pretty hardcore persecuted if you're a Christian in Afghanistan. Like, not the kind of persecuted that they say they are here, where they think, like, oh, I can't, you know, put my monuments up wherever I want. And they claim persecution, which, you know, is up in the air, you know, whether or not that's actually persecution or not. Yeah. But these guys, like, actually get run through the streets and killed and burned alive and stuff like that.
Yeah, probably. You don't really hear about a lot of religious violence over in Afghanistan, at least, you know, the big Christian versus Muslim type of thing. Not like you heard about in, like, Lebanon and shit like that, where the factions were, like, huge, right? Like,
yeah.
You know, 20%, 30%, this, that, and the other fucking thing. It's pretty much, like, 98% of the country is fucking Muslim. So...
Now, I, of course, you know, you and I have discussed enough, so you know my feelings on shit. And, of course, Sumerian is not here today, you know. And myself being a very good centralist... You know, I'm very central.
Yes.
You know, I am, you know, one of the great things about Newsreel is I have long been credited as giving an unbiased report of the news. You know, I just really lay it on the line. This is how it really is, you know, and it goes out from there. Now, clearly, I would say that you are right wing. I would say that you're a right wing kind of guy. You're not really too central. Sim would be left wing. I'm a central person, and you're a right wing person. That's pretty much
pendulum swinging way to the right on me.
Yeah. So in order to balance all of this, I'm just going to field a couple of questions, you know, to make sure that you know, we keep it this nice and balanced, you know. And I got a couple news stories that kind of reflects that, you know.
Okay.
So that we can, and I'd ask you, and you know, because I know you're right wing and everything, not to resort to violence, which is very, very quick for the right wing to do. You know, it's usually you wind up bombing.
We are off the fucking leash, man. We have these little right wing meetings where we find out new ways, like just how to set each other off with like liberal propaganda and find out who snaps first, eh?
Right.
It's all about the short fuse.
Oh, okay. So I would ask you, you know, control your savage right wing, you know, radical Republican, you know, bloodlust for just a moment while I field these questions. Okay. First of all, you know, one of the things that I've heard you say, and I've heard other people say this too, and this is like a tagline, is that it's better to fight them on their soil than it is to fight them on our soil. You know, I'd rather fight you on your turf rather than have you come over here and fight us on our turf.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Now, that to me, you know, in as I put on my left-wing cap here, that to me sounds a little crazy. I mean, what is actually the likelihood... You know, that now let's assume for a moment here. Now, we're going to not 9/11 notwithstanding, okay, because that's up for some debate. Okay, the jury's kind of out on some 9/11 shit. But,
yeah,
you know, not getting into that.
I really don't know what's the debate there. I mean, fucking 3,000 some odd people fucking died. But, you know.
Again, hows and the whys. Kind of like the Pearl Harbor thing. There's a little bit of thing about who knew, who didn't know, that kind of stuff. So there's some weird stuff there.
Right.
So that notwithstanding.
Right.
Because I don't know. I don't know, but I have, you know, seen some different stuff. So, you know, that we're just not going to bring that into the equation.
Right, don't go there. That's another show.
As well, yes, 3,000 people died.
yes, 3,000 people did die. Without a doubt, they're dead, for sure. Dead people, for sure. But it's only 3,000 people. Now, that's a really cold-ass thing to say, and it's shitty. But when you look at, like, how many people get bombed in Yugoslavia, we got millions of people dying every year, blah, 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 blah. You know what I mean? So they, you know, so there's that kind of an angle. That's what some people say. You know, there's, like, the day the Columbine shooting happened, they killed, like, something like fucking just thousands and thousands of people in Bosnia by bombing. We've got, you know, 500,000 people die every year from malaria. You know, it goes on and on and on. Now that said, so now I'm setting you up for the question here. So the question is, what is actually the likelihood? You know, is this, you know, this whole... You know, they're going to come over here and they're going to get us. So we got to go kill them on their home turf first. You know, is that actually, you know, a realistic concept? You know, does that actually make sense?
Is Canada the most loved nation on earth on the fucking hit list?
Well, yeah. You know, I mean, they haven't fucked with us, you know, and, you know, I mean, so, you know, so they kill a couple of Americans, you know, and they're just these guys. Now, bear in mind this. I reiterate in parentheses here, okay, this is me putting on my left-wing hat, okay? This is what I'm doing here. This is not actually my real viewpoint. But
vision blurring. Sean rapidly becoming the target bracket. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So I'm just saying that, you know, I mean, we invaded Iraq. They weren't involved in 9/11. You know what I mean? And Afghanistan is, I mean, what the fuck are they going to do? They got the ability to, you know... They can't reach out of their country for 20 feet.
All right, well, I'm going to step back.
So I'm just kind of going, okay. You know, what the fuck? Why are we bothering? You know, like, what? This is a stupid war. We shouldn't be doing it. You can come by normal that.
Well, right off the bat, Canada's not involved in Iraq, so there's none of this fucking wee bullshit invaded Iraq.
It's our culture. It's a cultural war. I'm just saying. Okay, carry on.
All right, so I'm just going to speak purely on a Canadian, but you know.
Okay, so purely level. From a Canadian level. Okay, so all factor right. out Iraq.
So here we go. Fucking how big of a target is Canada? Those big fucking beaver-loving, syrup-drinking hockey nuts, right?
Right.
Tubes on our head.
Cheeseheads.
Yeah, exactly. Let me tell you, we're fucking up there.
Why is that?
Well, way the fuck back when, you know, when Afghanistan was getting steamrolled.
Right.
Osama bin Laden's like, yes, and all you fucking infidels who are chasing my ass all over the, you know, mountain ranges of Pakistan and Afghanistan, you big cocksuckers, we're going to get you. And he listed a whole bunch of countries. Okay.
Okay.
Canada was on that country.
So Canada got the fatwa from Osama.
Yeah, exactly. He's got the great big middle finger going on, shaking the left foot at Canada.
Right.
Okay. So now we're the only country to not have been hit yet. Why? And this is purely my belief on this.
Okay,
one.
So this is not anybody else's belief, but why hasn't Canada been hit yet?
Because we're a really fucking easy gateway for the rest of these terrorist scum fucks to come and do all the rest of the shit, the bad shit that they want to do to, like, the States. And it's just a matter of time, okay? I got a friend of mine, and she's applying to get into the RCMP right now, but she works for Air Canada.
Okay.
Air Canada's got a very simple policy, which is you fly on the same plane that your baggage is on.
Right.
Therefore, any suicide bomber kind of nutball that gets on a plane and, you know, wants to blow up an airline or whatever, he's going to be going with them.
Right. Which isn't much of a steadfast for people who aren't afraid to die for Allah and shit.
But, yeah, exactly. It's kind of a moot point. But for the rest of, like, you know, the fucking wing nuts out there, you know, it's kind of a little bit of a dissuader, right?
Right.
In reality, like, when flights get delayed and, you know, things get fucked up, which happens a lot with Air Canada.
Sure.
Okay. She told me straight out, they don't check shit. They don't x-ray the fucking check baggage. They don't do fuck all. They don't cross-reference the flight itinerary with who's on the plane and where your baggage is going. It's like, here, hope you're on the plane with your baggage. So, you know, fucking... And guys, these terrorist scumbags have been noted in the airports watching and taking notes and taking pictures on how the system works. There are fucking terrorist agents working, collecting data and intel right now on how our airlines are working, man.
So...
It's a matter of fucking time. And as Canada steps up and takes a lot more of a fucking, you know, aggressive and active role, because when I deployed to Afghanistan for the first part of our mission, we are operating under the Operation Enduring Freedom banner.
Right.
Okay? Canadians, and I want to lay this out for all of our listeners out there, we are not peacekeeping this tour. We are not peacemaking. We are not peace enforcing. We are operating under the premise of war.
Okay.
I am going to war to support the rest of our combat troops to kill the fucking bad guys, man.
Okay, okay. So they're over here.
Yeah.
You know, now, again, liberal cap on. Okay. Liberal cap is on. Liberal cap's on. What do they want? What do they want? What do these terrorists want? Why are they blowing up our planes? What is it that, you know, why don't we just give them what they want and then they'll go away?
Well, we can't do that, Sean.
Why not?
Because the people that are, like, you know, doing all these attacks and all the rest of that shit.
Islamist fascists.
Yeah, the Islamofascists are seeking to create an Islamic world.
Oh.
They want to dominate the entire world, having it all, you know, under the banners, five times a day, getting down on your little rug, praying to Mecca and Allah and some stupid motherfucking rock for the world. Okay? We can't just give them Afghanistan. We can't just give them Iraq. Like, it's not like Germany in World War II where you give them Czechoslovakia and maybe you fucking, you know, Poland's a bit of a sore point and all the rest of that. No, no, no. They want the world to be dominated under their fucking religion.
So,
we can't really give them the world.
So it's kind of like the Islamofascists, really, are doing the same things now that Hitler was doing back in the day. I mean, they haven't got the camps set up and everything else like that, but if you look at their culture and how the Islamofascists, you know, kind of like women are all subjugated, you know, Hitler was against the Jews,
yeah,
you know, and the Russians and a bunch of other people, you
yeah
know. And the Islamofascists seem to have been declared a war on, looks like, 50% of humanity because they really don't dig women. I mean, you could. There's a bunch of other people they don't like, you know, Buddhists, they don't like
sure
Jews or anything else. But on a very base level, you know, making this shit personal, I'd say that, and from what I've read as well, and, you know, anyone can look this up. I mean, this isn't up for debate. You know, if you look at, you know, staunch Muslim beliefs, women are not so high on the whole chain there. You know, they're pretty much treated like crap. I mean,
right,
by universal standards.
Well, last week before I came out here, we were undergoing our cultural and language training.
Right.
And we had this little Afghani dude. His name
right
was Izzat. Came from Afghanistan. And, you know, he taught us all about his country. He taught us some, like, really key phrases for dealing with the locals and, you know, what to do and what not to do and all the rest of it. So we were asking him, well, you know, because Canadians are very, especially the soldiers, I mean, when we go over there, I mean, everybody knows that we're peacekeepers and we're all about, you know, bringing the toys and stuff, building schools up again and, you know, putting the big international handshake out there and
being,
you know,
nice, being good Canadian kids.
Exactly. So one of the things that, you know, we do is we look after the kids and families and all the rest of it. So we're asking questions like, well, you know, what can we get the kids out there, you know, they can use? Like soccer balls, fucking, you know, mine prods. Like, what do you give these little, you know, guys
kids
running around in their dirt, right?
Right.
So the guys, the kids all play soccer.
Right.
That's all great. But the girls don't get shit. And we're like, well, what do you mean they don't get shit? And he's like, well, they don't get shit. They go to school, if they're lucky enough to go to school, and there's, like, boys' classrooms, and there's girls' classrooms. And they don't really mingle. And then when they're not at school, the girls come back and they throw on their, you know, if they're really out in the rural communities, then they go on to the real traditional, like, hijabs and all the rest of that jazz, the burqas. And they do girl stuff, like cleaning this, preparing food, and basically living a life of goddamn near slavery, where the guys go out and, you know, drink tea and play soccer and all the rest of that shit. In the cities, it's a little bit more modern, where the chicks don't necessarily have to be wearing the full head-to-toe masks. But really, women's rights in Afghanistan, because of their culture, is non-fucking-existent. So, we don't socialize with women. You can't get them anything. Like, when we're dealing with, like, a woman in the rural side, man, fucking, you're not allowed to look at her. God forbid should you fucking try to touch her. She won't fucking talk to you at all. Like, it's brutal, man. Like, in some of the more modern ones, they might shake your hand. And that's like, you know, they might as well have a space program at that point if they do that shit, right? Like, that's a big fucking step forward. Like,
wow. So that's pretty much what we're dealing with here. And we got to try to bring these people into the forward ages by force, pretty much what it sounds like to me. But, you know, I mean, there's a lot of people who seem to think that we're the big bad guys in this particular equation.
Well, yeah. I mean, the Islamofascists are going to fucking, you know, slab on this great big bullshit about, you know, all the Canadians, Americans, and all the rest of the Western nations are going to come here and try to enforce their fucking way of life on us. And, you know, it's not that. It's not that at all. All right. There's not a lot to be gained from Afghanistan. They have no water because Pakistan basically dammed up their major river, so they don't have any fucking water. There's no fucking agriculture there because they have no water.
Right.
There's no wildlife.
It's kind of a wasteland, really.
No water. Oh, dude. You have no fucking idea how shitty this country is.
No.
Like, the more
no,
I learned
no
about it, it's fucking shitty. And just when I'm thinking couldn't get any shittier, I look at something else, I'm like, God damn, this country is shitty. Like,
so you're saying this is probably the shittiest. Like, okay, in the land of shitty, let's look at bad Africa. versus Afghanistan? Which would you say was more
bad?
Sugar?
Africa has got trees. It's got wildlife.
There's that, yeah.
It's Afghanistan doesn't have much of that.
So it's like moon with crazy people.
Especially where I'm going to be operating, it's actually in the plains, like the sort of southeastern plains where it's nothing but fucking desert.
No, that's
like
a good time.
I've seen slides, and there's like no shit, man. The guys over there right now haven't seen clouds for like 3 months.
What's that shit you were telling me about the winds? There's something with the winds there.
Yeah, it starts up around June, July, as far as I know. They got this thing called the winds of 120 days. Okay?
Right.
Now, keep in mind, this gets kind of exponentially nasty, because again, I'm on the desert plains, where there's no train features to like stop these winds of 120 days. But basically, for 3 months, you get nothing but sandstorms and winds blowing all the fucking time.
All the time.
All the time, up to like 160 kilometers an hour. Where, you know, for 3 months, I'm going to basically be sandblasted and probably wrapped head to toe like a fucking Tuscan Raider. So, yeah, exactly.
Okay. Well, I mean, you know, that should be a good time. And are you going to be able to post to your live journal, which is linked to my live journal?
Yeah. Well, I really hope to, because they've got really, really good facilities in the main airfield where we're at. We've been allotted, you know, internet cafes, and like they got a whole bunch of rooms that are networked and shit like that. They're really taking care of us over there in the main camp, anyhow.
Sure.
So, yeah.
Something to check out.
Yeah, and it shouldn't be blocked. It shouldn't have all the little, you know, anti-porn spammy things on the go. And so, you know, I can update my journal normally from my, you know, work computers.
So it should be okay.
Yeah.
Should be okay. All right. Well, enough about you. Let's get into some of the feedback on the news here. Dear Sean, which would be Sean and Sari at this particular time. The Liberals have dumped $8 billion into the Army. They're going to dump the duty money so we don't have to give the states... We don't have to give, hang on, they're going to dump the duty money we don't have to give the states now into the military. Okay. Oh, I see. So they're going to dump the duty money that we don't have to give the states anymore into the military. That's what you're saying.
Gotcha.
They believe in the military. They're fixing the budget. Steve Harper is an evil man. He says he'll ban abortion and remove gay marriage. He's also mentioned and tried to pass bills to remove socialized health care.
Ooh.
Please, Sean, don't vote for the conservatives. They're evil. There's good and bad, and the liberals are gray, and the conservatives are black. I'm an NDP guy, but I'm not voting for them this time around because they're a spoiler vote on the block. They're a spoiler vote like the Bloc Quebecois. How are you voting this election? Where are you going with this?
Well, I don't love the liberals.
I don't love the liberals either.
I really don't love the fucking liberals.
I don't love the liberals a lot. Now, I didn't know that Stephen Harper was talking about banning abortion.
Yeah.
That's a big one with me. I'm like, whoa, that's no good. That's a deal breaker.
Yeah.
Right there. Now, if that's true, I don't know if that's true, as I just got an email that says he wants to do that. Now, if that's true, you can fuck Stephen Harper's vote. Okay. If that's true, but you got to prove it's true. You know what I mean? So there's a bit of a go there.
I got to take a look at it this way. I mean, yeah, you can take a look at the national parties and all the rest of that shit, but all these motherfuckers have got different agendas in different provinces.
Right.
The way my take on it is, you vote for the guy that's going to do the best in your riding. Who's the guy in your fucking community that's going to be doing the best job for where you live?
Right.
Because really, that's the important shit.
Right.
Now, okay, if fucking Harper here wants to take a step back to the Stone Age and, like, you know, be all anti-abortion, anti-gay thing, okay, I'm not really too cool with that myself.
No, I'm not cool with that.
But then again, you got these liberal motherfuckers like Paul Martin, who I really wish I could scrub the fucking skin off my hands after shaking his hand in India for this one. He wants to ban all fucking handguns in Canada because handguns are fucking evil. Handguns fucking kill people. Well, you know what? I'm a fucking shooter. Nobody's going to fucking take away my goddamn handguns. So fuck you, liberals.
Yeah, it's kind of a bad hold your nose kind of a thing. I mean, you got that whole one side. You've got Stephen Harper who's like, yes, you're going to have your guns so we can use them to kill everyone who doesn't think like we do. And then you have the liberals, which is like, no, our head is firmly up our ass, and therefore all violence is evil. Quickly, let us, you know, sing kumbaya.
Because, you know, it's the fucking registered card-carrying guys that are a member of Rangers and all the rest of that good shit. They're out there blowing fucking people away.
Yeah.
No.
So maybe it'd be good to check out what the NDP have to say, but of course the NDP fucked this place up last time they were in control. The NDP completely fucking took everything down. So, yeah. I don't know, man. Maybe I should start up my own political party. I'll start up that draconian party I wanted to start up. And, you know, kind of get the judge.
Fucking fantastic idea.
I think so. You know, get the Judge Dredd law situation on the go. You know, but, yeah, definitely. I guess it bears a little bit more research before I go, you know, once again, Sean flapping off at the gums again.
You know, so make sure that you check out that, because if that's true with Stephen Harper trying to ban abortion, man, I'm not down with that at all. That's a deal breaker right now. That's new data, which I'm like, whoa, I'm going to have to check into that. So wait out on that. But, you know, we are going to have to look after some of our boys in green there. And currently the way our nation does things is just really fucked up. I mean, Canada is a pretty messed up country right now. And it'd be nice if we had some leadership that came in that had a bit of a clue rather than just making money. Dear Sean, got another feedback here.
Gotcha.
I know you have a keen interest in world events, so I thought I would give you your locals' perspective on what's going on down here in Oz, now down in Australia. So this is a local from Australia. Check the news, feeds like Google, and there's no shortage of coverage worldwide. I live in southern Sydney, and my local area has been a scene of race riots.
Yeah, we were talking about this.
My neighborhood is what I would consider to be a very laid-back and livable place, and this type of thing is totally foreign to me. I'm now questioning whether my local beach is a safe place to take my family, and at the moment, the answer is clearly no. This weekend, hundreds of cars have been smashed, people have been assaulted, and shop windows have been broken. According to the media, it is a Christian/Muslim issue, with people of either appearance are being attacked just on appearance. The thing that has really shocked me is that the white supremacist groups have been traveling from far and wide to take advantage of the conflict, which, yeah, they're going to flock to that. I have personally been told that people are coming from as much as 1,000 kilometers just to take part. How fucked up is that? Not fucked up at all. What you're experiencing here is a cultural balkanization. And the same thing happened in Yugoslavia when things started to go sideways. People came from all over the fucking place to try to heat this issue up. I thought these groups were sparse, scattered, and therefore largely insignificant. But it seems that a mobile phone text message has changed as the word circulates quickly as to where to meet through people's phones. In my opinion, is this a symptom of something deeper? Is it interesting that it is not Muslim, but also Caucasian/Christian anger? What the hell is going on? Peace to you, Isaku. Well, you know what we got here. I mean, Australia is fairly xenophobic. I mean, they're pretty draconian lately. Yeah, they're pretty xenophobic. I mean, if boat people try to get out of their country, they dispatch like the SAS. They show up, they'll sink the boats. You know, these people are pretty, you know, not so into the immigration thing, you know. And now we've got the race riot situation, and the skinheads are pretty, I guess they're pretty good down there in Aussie. You know, they're all massing down there. And this could be, this is something that locally the law enforcement needs to look after, you know, because if there's this kind of race riots and stuff going on, they need to quell that right now.
Well, they've crippled a lot of the police forces in these local beaches and shit like that, to like deal with this, like massive police presence.
Right.
So,
kind of bad, kind of thinking kind of South Africa-ish, you know, at this level, you know, I mean, this could really heat up, you know?
Yeah. And what's the root of it all? Religion.
Yeah, religion. Yeah, it's not even a racial thing. It's a religious thing, which is, you know, yet another reason why, you know, I'm not so down with the Mud Hut. On to sort yourself out. I've got three sort yourselves out.
Oh, this could be good.
Yeah, I got a long one here. Hey, Sean. Set here. I'm a personal trainer for a nationwide fitness club chain. I've been in the fitness industry for well over 2 years and have only been with this current organization since about last summer. I recently transferred to a new club to help sort out some family business, namely helping take care of the grandma. As soon as I walked to the door of my new club, I was hit with an opportunity I've been waiting for quite a while now. A personal trainer at this club, the personal trainers at this club don't have a department director. The PT department was in complete disorder, falling apart at the seams, and generally about to self-destruct. The regional PT director hit me to take up on the job. He said, if you can take this department cleaned up by the end of the month, the job is yours. I mean, he leapt into action, started working with furious laser-like precision. I actually looked forward each day as I was finally doing what I've been waiting to do for some time. In less than 2 weeks, I created structure and organization when there was none. I booked tons of clients for trainers who had all but blank schedules, set my department up to do 200% above our PT contract quota until been consistently under 50%. Long story short, I did a fucking stellar job, if I do say so myself. However, while I was doing what I was doing was sort of on the down low, I immediately knew that in order to have a cooperation with my fellow trainers, they would have to understand that I'm not some new asshole trying to make shit up to bend the department to my will, but rather being directed to create structure where it was done by someone higher up. Thus, I asked the regional PT director to set up a meeting with the department to formally introduce me, my role, and talk about what's going on in the PT department in general. After 2 weeks in this new role, the faithful meeting I requested came. The regional director came in, didn't ask me anything about what I had done, and immediately made several announcements that completely took the wind out of my sails. One, he is now in charge of the department, effectively usurping me. The new director will be coming in January from San Francisco to take up the job that was promised to me. He completely contradicted several things I had set up. He never told me the department. He basically cut this guy's nuts off. Needless to say, I just felt like I'd been slapped in the face with a brick. After the meeting, I was talking to the regional director. Interestingly enough, he never looked away from the computer he was working on and never made eye contact. Most of his answers seemed pretty wishy-washy. You know, he asked him whether or not, you know, he did a good job, and he just totally, got this dropped on him by the price president. Basically, he got fucked. Okay, is what's going on here.
Never seen this happen before.
Yeah, never, never, never. Thankfully, I suppressed the urge to grab a shovel and introduce it to this fucker's face. However, going to work is now a very unpleasant affair, as I used to look forward to it each day. I don't know if I can go back to being a trainer now. I put so much focus and energy into my new role. I spent so much energy mentally reframing myself into that role. I'm not into training anymore at all. So what did I do? Do I tell this organization to get fucked? Because I can't work for someone who I obviously cannot trust. Do I wait for this guy to self-destruct and reap the rewards in wake of his destruction? Of course, this assumes he will self-destruct. If he does, what do I do until he blows up, as my head is completely out of the training game now? Any outside perspective would be greatly appreciated. Thanks for your consideration. Set. So, what happened here is you did a month's worth of work, and you were told that you were going to get a supervisor position, and then they fucked you.
No good deed goes unpunished.
Yeah, totally. So you want to know, do you walk or not? You know, I mean, that's the thing here. Now, the thing is, within the personal trainer market, it's a very difficult trade. I mean, there's a lot of people who try to do this shit, and what happened here is you got nailed by corporate politics. You know what I mean? There's a couple things you could do here. I mean, we're playing the corporate game here. You know what I mean? If you bail, he wins. Because who gives a fuck? He knows. What's happening is the guy who fucked you sat back with a piece of paper and actually drew out what you could possibly do to fuck him back. Okay, you got to understand that. Okay, he sat down and went, okay, now when I fuck this guy over, how is he going to get me back? And he realizes that you have no leverage, no power. Therefore, he says, I'm going to put the screws to you. Fuck you. Okay, fair ball. So the clever thing to do, you could either bail, go to a different one, you know, if you could find another job and set all that up and walk away, you know, just be a bigger man. Or you can pretend like it's not a big deal. Totally pretend like it's not a big deal. You're just a team player and you're just thankful you could do your job. You betcha. Real good. And then from there, you actively plot to destroy this fucker. Okay? And that's probably, considering that if you walk away, you got to start fresh, new job. You've already established yourself here. He knows you're reliable. You know, don't let him know that you're angry. I mean, because that's the kiss of death. And, you know, if you're going to get vengeance on this fucker, you want to, you know, stew that up till it's nice and cold. Wait till you can really drop the hammer on this guy. And then when you put the blade in, make sure you put it up to the hilt. Because his big fault is that he let you stay with the company. That was where he fucked up. He should have made sure you were gone.
You never let the sons, you know, live to, you know, avenge their father's death. We've seen this time and time again in the movies.
Yeah, it's just so. Yeah. Personally, if I was you, welcome to the corporate world. This is Dirty Pool. This is how it's played. This is why I fucking hate the corporate world, because this is the kind of shit that happens. So you're either going to get in the game and learn how to fight, because guess what? Welcome to adulthood. And this is what corporations are all about. They're about fucking each other over to get ahead, and that's exactly what this guy did. So, you know, I'm not into fucking people over for no reason. You know, if someone's under, like, one of my people is working for me or whatever, I mean, I'm not going to fuck them over. I'm just going to be like, yeah, okay, well, there's a problem here, you know, blah, 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 blah. And until they fuck me. But once they fuck you, oh, baby.
Gloves are off.
Yeah, gloves are off. So this guy has already, you know, made his call. So you must take a whole lesson in subversion. Become this guy's best friend, okay? So you can get right next to him to put the blade in, okay? That's where I'd go, because this guy fucked you. So I would, you know, try to get some perspective, get your head into it, you know, do the Sith thing, you know, feed the hate, and eventually set it up so that you can take his job back, because it's your goddamn job. You know, if you're going to go cry in the corner about it, that's one thing. Fair ball. Always hurts. Getting shot is getting shot. But, I'd fight back. But, you know, you got to be subtle. Got to be subtle.
The other thing, too, is that this guy's a regional aid. Probably a lot more on his plate than just that one particular store as well. So he's probably going to be fucking scattered all over the place and dropping the ball and pieces and all the rest of that good shit. I mean, depending on how hands-on this fuck guy, you know, is, right?
Right.
So lots of opportunities there to see, you know, shit fucking fall through the cracks, and you have to pick up the pieces and all this evidence you'd accumulate going, look, this guy doesn't even do his fucking job.
Yeah. You know, but you got to be real careful with that, too. You know, there's a series of other ways, which I can't talk about on the radio, which you can, you know, facilitate his, you know, demise. But, you know, just, well, give it some thought, you know, and you know, consider how much you hate this fucker. Or you could go with what the power of focus and all these business books say. Just forgive the guy. Say, okay, well, I guess that wasn't the way it was going to be. You know, whatever, and then carry on. You know, that way you don't have all the hatred burning you up inside and all the rest of it. But, I don't know. I would definitely learn from this, you know, this will happen again and again, because this is what the corporate world is, unfortunately. You know. Dear Sean, I have another question for you. I'm an avid reader, and due to certain things about my brain makeup, everything I read becomes part of my reality. Jesus fucking Christ.
That could be really good or really bad.
Yeah, it would be. Fiction or not, I don't mean simply that it enters my imagination, but the more I read The Scab Wings of Abaddon, my reality becomes black and lit with green splotches. Wow.
Okay, start reading Penthouse Letters right now.
Right now. For you. Yeah, you want to get yourself some serious, like, Penthouse Letters, Penthouse Forum. Yeah, for sure. If I read The Wizard of Oz, I could see people around me in green spaces and monkeys flying overhead. Wow. You should probably talk to somebody about this. Is this at least moderately normal? No!
Far fucking from
it. No, if you're actually seeing flying monkeys, not normal. I've never really had a problem with it. It's actually kind of fun. It just seems like nobody else can get into the books the way that I seem to. Thanks for your time and shit. Yours in love and hate, peace and war, fiction and nonfiction. Charissa, the Ronin Alien Kitten. Okay, well,
there are some benefits to this.
There is some benefits to this, but I'm just trying to think, okay, hang on now. Before we tell him to, you know, please check with your local doctor. You know, I would make sure that he doesn't have pharmaceuticals involved, because that sounds like pharmaceutical territory to me. You know, like I'm doing some recreational pharmaceuticals, and I'm seeing the flying monkeys. Don't read any more of my stuff at all, for starters. I'd stay away from the entire horror genre. I don't even really know what to say about this.
Diversify. I mean, take a look at it from this angle. You're never going to have to pay for a movie again. You can read all the fucking books you want, and you got your own home theater system going on right in front of you. You never have to go into a Colossus or a Silver City or any of that shit. There's a benefit here.
There is, except for the fact that how is he employable? Yeah, there's that. Yeah, the whole employable thing, getting a job thing. Yeah.
Well, I'm not saying it's not without its downside.
Well, it's kind of like, you know, the buddy's sitting here saying that he's pretty much an acid casualty. That's what he's telling me here. And I'm kind of like, well, you know, and of course, you know, part of me kind of goes, well, you know, you need to, I'd stay away from any occult reading. I'd stay away from any religious reading. Jesus, what would you read? Math books.
Ooh, good call. Language.
Yeah, languages and math. I mean, if you were to read up on the math books, like go see the movie Pi. And then load up on math so you could see mathematics everywhere. Eventually, you could turn into the guy from Pi. But
books on astronomy?
Books, well, I don't know. Cause then, you know, what do you think? Yeah, navigation, right. Astronomy, yeah. Edible plants. Yeah, I basically, you're no longer allowed to read fiction. That's not cool.
Stay away from the war shit, too.
Yeah, stay away from war shit. Yeah, for sure, because that'll be bad.
Yeah.
And you probably want to talk to a doctor about that one. That's pretty serious. I mean, if you're, like, I'm not just talking, like, kind of see flying monkeys. Like, if you're looking over and there's a flying monkey going oop, oop on your fucking bed frame, okay, you need to talk to somebody, okay, because that can go south on you. You don't really know where you're going to wind up with that. Stay away from the Clive Barker stuff. Yeah, like, you don't know. So that's a little disturbing.
Does this apply to audiobooks as well? Because if that's the case, you don't want to be listening to any of that shit while you're driving.
No, definitely not. As a matter of fact, I'm not too sure you should be driving. You know, I mean, chitty chitty bang bang, you know, notwithstanding. That's got to be one of the most fuck letters I've ever got. Okay. Hi, Sean. Here's basically what's wrong with me. No, I ain't suicidal. ... Yet. If you're suicidal, I have no time for you. But anyway, he says he's not suicidal. I have no social life. I have two friends I don't see very much, and the other, well, I see every day at school, but he isn't really a true friend. He wouldn't stick up for me, basically. Anyway, I'm short as hell for my age. I get picked on. Example, today a total stranger in my school year threw a bottle of juice at me and it bruised my arm for no reason. At school, for my hair color, which is red, I get, and I'm, oh, because he's got red hair, you're one of those ginger kids, so he threw a juice bottle at you and you got hit in the arm and you're bruised. And I'm getting quite fat due to my non-existent social life, and I spend all my free time in front of my computer playing Counter-Strike and games of this nature. My home life is good, but, you know, it gets boring. I mean, I don't have anyone to go around with outside of school, so I don't. So what should I do? Oh, sorry if it's a bit of a hard question.
There is so much potential in this kid right now.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. This is a golden fucking opportunity.
This is huge, yeah.
This is the fucking shit.
Yeah, you're actually, you think that you're actually in a real bad disadvantage right now. You're thinking, fuck, I have no social life. I've got a good home life. He says here, good home life.
Fuck, man, you're ahead of the game.
Yeah, now what I'm going to give my response to this, and then Sarah can give his result. Okay, number one thing you have to learn right off the top, is the social life is bullshit. Right off the top, you don't have a social life ever. Okay, your social life is totally transient. Wherever you go, your social life will follow you. Okay, I mean, if you go to, you know, work in New York, you'll know some people. It's about being able to smile and get along with people. People just are attacking you for no fucking reason. Then, you know, I mean, that's weird. But it's high school, so it's fucked up. High school is evil. So what you need to do is you need to, first of all, focus on the self. Okay, you need to focus out and you have to figure out what it is that you want out of life. Nothing in life will be given to you at all. Nothing will be given to you. Not a thing. Okay? The entire fucking world does not owe you shit. You want to sit there and wallow on your computer and be like, oh, woe is me. My life is shit. I'm going to blow some people away at Counter-Strike. Which I've done myself. That's okay for a little while. But you can't keep that shit up. Eventually, you got to go, you know what? Fuck this, man. I'm going to live my own life my way. I want to learn how to do this. I'm going to dedicate myself to this. You know? If you want to learn, if you've got social problems where you're not able to talk to people and stuff like that, pick up a book like Dale Carnegie's How to Make Friends and Influence People. It's an old book, great book, talks about tried and true techniques, psychological techniques that are useful in making friends and shit like that. But the people that are around you right now, if they're a bunch of shitheads and asshats, well, you're getting fat, not because you don't have a social life. You're getting fat because you're eating bad food and you're not working out. So that can be circumvented. You're 14 years old. Okay, all you got to do is hit the gym like twice a week and buddy, the fat will fly off your fucking body. Patrolling season one, thanks for calling. Okay, like there's, you'd be able to totally, you could focus on the self, think of yourself as like a bio cyborg and begin building up yourself as the character sheet, as per patrolling again. But, you know, I mean, you're about the same size.
Fuck off.
All right.
Anyhow, here's what I'm going to say. This kid needs the confidence boost.
Okay.
Really.
Really.
Okay. So, he's at, 14, school shit. Well, school's shit at 14 for pretty much fucking everybody.
Yeah, school is universally shit at 14.
And if you don't have a fucking circle of friends at school, all right, fucking find a new environment, man. If these people are shitheads, which they, you know, in all majority probably are, fucking go elsewhere. Now, he's at a prime age. You give this kid a taste of something that he can be good at, give him one success. You give one kid one fucking success, man. And holy fuck, does that get the ball rolling.
Right.
14 years old, join the cadets, man.
Well, yeah, there's that. Yeah, it worked for me.
It's a new social group. You're learning new skills. You get the discipline, the self-respect. Get introduced to a whole shitload of fucking things. And you know what? So, you know, you don't like the cadets, you can drop out. You can leave anytime. But at least you went out and did something, okay? It's all about exploring what you want to do at this age. And fucking, you know, I'll tell you one thing. Self-respect goes a long way. It's a hard fucking lesson to learn at that age. You know, getting a sense of self-worth when, you know, you're even fucking introducing yourself into the world and, you know, you're taking your first real steps as being an independent individual. Okay?
Yeah.
So it's a hard thing to learn self-reliance at 14, let me fucking tell you.
Yeah, it's gross. Yeah. Yeah, okay. It's pretty sick.
But I'll tell you, man, you gotta get out of the little bat cave in front of the computer. Now, I love my computer games and I've spent many hours fucking geeking things on Ghost Recon and, you know, using it as my little de-stressor and all the rest of that good shit. But it's not the fucking epicenter of my world. Okay? You gotta get out there, see a little bit of sunlight, and be part of the world. Find new things that interest you and try them.
The cadet thing is not a bad idea.
Oh, know? Absolutely not, man. It's
and if he's not, if he doesn't have cadets near him or whatever, I mean, there's also martial arts class.
That was the other route that I was going to go.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you can find yourself a nice dojo. Make sure it's a good dojo with a skinny, fit instructor.
Yeah.
You know, if you walk in there, a bunch of fat people there, you're not interested. You want a highly disciplined environment, and You know, I mean, you're going to go in there and make sure it's a school that's been there for a while, good reputation, you know, and maybe start training into that. That would be my solution for that. I mean, because if you do those, either one of those, baby, you're definitely going to get some changes going on.
Oh, yeah, all for the better. All for the better.
Totally. So into the news. In AIDS news, China's human trials of the AIDS vaccine were proceeding smoothly 9 months after the program was launched. They've got an AIDS vaccine in China. The last batch of 15 Chinese, quote-unquote, volunteers received the vaccine over the weekend and reported no side effects in the crucial first 24 hours, said medical officials involved in the trial. The first 24 hours are a vital period for observation, the deputy director, Guangxi Regional Disease Prevention and Control Center, said in Nations South, Shenji. So far, volunteers have reported no ill reactions. They have entered a relatively stable period of observation. The latest inoculation. Now, these are inoculations. Okay. This isn't a cure. This is to stop you from getting AIDS. Okay.
That's puts a spin on things.
This does put a spin on things, you see. So, he goes on to say here, there have been about 35 AIDS vaccines trials throughout the world, most of which are still in the first phase. In the 24 history of AIDS, only one vaccine has completed the full phase trial process, AIDSvax, which is found to be a disappointing failure. The latest trial to make the headlines, Swedish researchers announced on December 1 that the trial for the so-called DNA vaccine against AIDS virus is going to be better than expected. So it's a DNA-altering vaccine. So it fucks with the DNA. The vaccine had successfully completed the first stage of tests among 40 HIV-negative volunteers at the Karolinska Institute in Stockholm. It has been more effective than they thought it would be, the professor and the head of clinical testing said at the institute. We have also failed to find any vaccine-related side effects at all. This shit's great. Fucks with your DNA and makes you immune to AIDS.
Yeah, you know how there's only really one way to kind of test that, though, which is...
You got to go bang some, you know,
high whore and
yeah, get AIDS,
yeah.
You know, and you know, that's a bad one.
And
of course, you could probably draw blood and see about introducing AIDS infected blood to that blood and see if it spreads or whatever the fuck is involved. But I mean, my biology is not what it could be, so I don't really know.
Yeah, and I don't know, man. I don't know if I'd volunteer to have my DNA remapped like that.
That's, now I'm gonna go in the big because I'm married. You know, and I kind of go with the whole. I'm not really a screaming Christian, as those who listen to the show, you know, understand. But I'm kind of a single bone kind of dog. You know, I mean, I'm a one woman kind of man. That's me. I kind of that's my call. I think that's pretty much the way that humans biologically are kind of engineered to live. You know, it's my choice. My belief structure states that I should, you know. You know, mate for life. That's the whole plan.
Just like a duck, you bet.
Yeah, just like a fucking duck. Me, Mr. Mallard over here. So,
quack.
I don't need to worry so much about the AIDS thing because I'm not going to be going and banging quiff all over the fucking nation, you know. So, yeah, you know, I would probably just, you know, try to just maybe instead of remapping my DNA, being a little selective with the partners and don't fuck crack horse as sort of a, you know, sort of a personal guideline.
You know, man, that's
smells bad. Don't eat it. You know, I mean, that's how it works.
For my 30 years of existence.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Now, here's an interesting story here. You ready for this one?
Lay it on me.
In dead soldier news. Now, this is going to be an interesting story. Now, it'd be interesting to get your take on this. There's controversy over how the military is transporting the bodies of service members killed overseas. Number 10 News has reported. A local family said fallen soldiers and Marines deserve better than one would think of our war heroes being transported with dignity, care, and respect. It said that one would think upon arrival, their hometowns would they are greeted with honor, but unfortunately the family said this is not the case. Dead heroes are supposed to come home in their coffins draped in the American flag, greeted by a color guard. But in reality, many are arriving on freight on commercial airliners, stuffed into the belly of a plane with a suitcase and other cargo. John Hawley and his wife Stacy were stunned when they found that their body of their only child, Matthew John Hawley, who died in Iraq last month, would be arriving at Lindbergh Field as freight. Matthew was a medic with the 101st Airborne Unit and died on November 15th. When someone dies in combat, they need to give them the respect. They need to give them the due respect they deserve for the sacrifice they have made, said John Hawley. John and Stacy Hawley were both in the Army and made some calls with the help of U.S. Senator Barbara Boxer. Ooh, wow. Matthew was greeted with honor and respect. Ooh, wow, this is good. This is big can of worms here, boy.
Ooh, this is national.
Yeah, this is that's a bad shit. Our familiarity with military protocol and things that sort of allowed us to kind of put our foot down. We're not sure other parents have that same sort of knowledge, said Stacey Hawley. The Hawleys now want to make sure every fallen hero gets the proper welcome. The bodies of dead service members arrive at Dover Air Force Base. From that point, they're sent to their families on commercial airliners. Reporters from 10 News called the Defense Department for an explanation. A representative said she did not know why this was happening. Now, Fat Ninja, who sent me this story, had this comment. Okay, and then we will comment on his comment and on the story. Okay. Apparently, the Pentagon, or whoever handles this, is mailing dead soldiers home as freight. Meaning, instead of coming home with a coffin draped in a flag, as color guard pleasant, they show up and pick you up like a piece of fucking luggage. If ever there was a reason not to fight for your country, this would be it. I mean, come on. You're putting your life on the line for what is told is the freedom, and if you fall in combat, they pretty much throw you in the fucking garbage. You know, unless I'm mistaken, for a long time, U.S. soldiers that died in combat years were buried in the nation they were fighting in. I wonder how long before some pencil prisoner decides to start that up again so we can save even more money. And that's from Fat Ninja, who's a very good guy. I mean, he's a pissed off dude. You know, he's just upset with the war dead. He's a good shit. Now, how do you feel about this? Because you're going to a war zone.
Right.
So would you give a fuck if they did this?
Yes.
You would?
Yes.
But I disagree.
It's not for me.
Right.
Okay, because, you know, I didn't join the fucking forces so that, you know, I could be shipped home like a piece of garbage. That's the last thing of my fucking concerns, all right? I mean, however, it's a concern for my family because they're not going to want to receive my potential remains like that. And the undue stress and emotional toil it would take on my family is completely fucking unacceptable to me.
Yeah, that's bad.
Considering it's already a shitty situation, oldest grandson, only son, blah, blah, blah. Here I am, all fucking dead in a box. And they have to fucking pick me up like that. And you know, if it's there in Canada, they're in WestJet, they're going to fuck up your luggage, right?
I'd pick you up, man. I'd put you in a barrack box, though. I mean, because I could probably fit you in a barrack box.
Probably.
Of course, I could
probably. Especially, it all depends on how much of me is left out.
Well, you could probably put a lab in a barrack box. They're like Narnia barrack boxes. Yeah. But anyway, carry on.
So anyways, that's not fucking on. That is not fucking on, man. And again, my take on it is from the emotional stresses, the additional emotional stresses it would put on my family. You know, I served my fucking country. I, in this hypothetical situation, got geeked. You know what? That's the life I signed up for. I made the conscious choice. Double volunteer. Here we go. It's a reality pill. You swallow it. You carry the fuck on. Nobody's holding a gun to my fucking head. I'm not, you know, under contract. I can leave anytime I want to.
Right.
So for me, it's like, well, here we go.
Okay. For me, I'm dead. Dead guy. Dead, dead, fucking dead. Dead for sure dead. So... I mean, there's certain logistics involved here. You know what I mean? And how much money are you willing to spend in order to not offend people's sensitivities? You know. I mean, maybe it might be better if we incinerated soldiers and shipped home, like, urns or something. You know what I mean? Like, because, I mean, that's expensive to ship home a body. You know. It's a bad one. It's a bad one. Personally, maybe they could have, like, sort of a request sheet, you know, for the family and for everybody, you know, as another option. So, like, if you don't give a fuck, like, can we bury you in country? Some people, maybe they want to be buried in Africa, you know, or something like that. They want to be buried where they fell. You know, I could see there's a certain nostalgia to that, you know. You have a local service, as a choice, you know, so you introduce the choice. Like, when you, yeah, I mean, you check off a bunch of boxes. Do you want to be buried where you fall? Do you want to get shipped home? Do you want to get shipped home with honor guard and all the rest of it? You know what I mean? Because there is a cost to that shit, you know.
Well, yeah. I don't know. Too much paperwork for the military. They would fuck that up as well, and, you know, ultimately, the families or whoever, I mean...
I would think that, yeah, you know what? I mean, after all, this fucking guy died for what you sent him for. Motherfucker, you know, at least, you know, show that shit up so his family doesn't feel like ass. I mean, it's a pretty fucking shitty goal to have to go to the airport and pick up your kid in a box anyway. So as ways, well, you may as well not have him come rolling down the baggage cart. You know what I mean? Like, that's pretty shitty.
Yeah, exactly. And on the bigger scale, I mean, face it, man. Here's another soldier that died fucking protecting... you know, your fucking way of life, under whatever premises, war or not, that you may agree with.
Yeah.
But the fucking person showed up, they did their job when they were asked to do so, under the worst circumstances, and you don't fucking treat them like a piano when you send it back home.
That's true.
That is fucking bullshit.
That is bullshit. Today's Daily Hack, why does God hate amputees? Is God real, or is he imaginary? It's a simple question. It's also an extremely important question for several different reasons. For one thing, God existence is the issue at the heart of what American culture's... is at the heart of the American culture wars.
For example, if God was real and God did write the Bible, then we should certainly post the Ten Commandments prominently and view it at every courthouse, school, shopping mall in the land. We should be praying to God in our schools. We should purge evolution from every curriculum in the book if the book of Genesis is true, if God exists, and that's all true. For example, if God is real and God did write the Bible, now this is, of course, going from a God-Bible perspective. Okay, this doesn't take into account the whole what if God exists but the Bible is not accurate. They haven't even approached that. But anyway, we're going with the God-Bible thing here. Then it is an important question at a personal level as well. If God is real and is the author of the Bible, then God answers your prayers. Okay, so if there's two things there. Is God real? One. Two, is he the author of the Bible? So we're assuming both. Okay, then God answers your prayers. God has a plan for you and watches out for you. God has a place for you in heaven, and you will have eternal life after you die. Nothing can be more important during your time on earth than your everlasting soul. But what if God is a figment of the human imagination? Then the opposite of true. If God is imaginary, then the Bible is nothing more than a book of stories and legends written by primitive men. The Ten Commandments, the Gospels, the Book of Genesis, and Revelation are meaningless in that case. Prayer is a waste of time because there is no one to hear those prayers. There is neither heaven nor hell, and you do not have a soul. All of the time and energy our culture spends praying, talking about God, praying to God, building churches to God, worshiping God, are misguided and could be directed elsewhere. So this is your classic sort of thing of God versus not God, which the problem here I'm having, it's a very interesting thing and very well worth the read, but this is one of those kind of papers where they don't take into account a third factor where maybe, you know, there is a God, but the Bible wasn't there, blah, 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 cosmic forces. And I always refer to my mathematical equation, which is, if there is a God, it would have to be infinite. We, as brains, are finite. Therefore, since we are finite and God is infinite, we will never understand the smallest part of God. Thanks for calling. You know what I mean? So, you know, that's my mathematical formula for religion. And that's all I got for you today, but don't worry. I will be back tomorrow to make sure you get the information you need to stay alive. This has been a free radio broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of 62 people donating for the month of November. Thank you so much. And thanks again to everyone and their assistance in gathering data. If you have access to sensitive information or any of the pertinent stories, please email them to newsreel, that's N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L, at randradio.com. If you like the music in the background, be sure to pick up the album by Whack Tracks, the Black Box set, and this is the Disc 1. And I'm going to leave you now with an outstanding song, one of my favorites, by Richard Cheese, People Equals Shit. You got anything else?
Goodbye. Have a good holiday. If, you know.
Oh, you'll probably be around.
Yeah, I'll be around. Fuck it. We'll talk to you later.
Okay.
I want some pizza.
That's right. So until tomorrow, that is what Server said. End of line.
Come on. Here we go again. Motherfucker, yeah, yeah, yeah. Come on down and see the idiot right here. Too fucked to beg and not afraid to care. What's the matter with calamity anyway? Right, get the fuck out of my face. Understand I can't feel anything. It isn't like I want to sift through the decay. I feel like a wound, like I got a fucking gun against my head. You live when I'm dead. People equal shit. People equal shit. People equal shit. People equal shit. Come on. Me now, so fuck it. Blood on my face and my hands, I don't know why. I'm not afraid to cry, but that is none of your business. Overdo it, don't tell me you blew it. Stop your bitching and fight your way through it. I'm not like you, I just fuck up. Come on, motherfucker, everybody has to die. People equal shit.